welcome to American RVer. You're listening to the audio-only version of the show created from the video podcast. If you would like to see the video podcast, go to www.americanrver.com and click on the video podcast button. There is a 10-minute download with a DSL connection. Thank you and enjoy.
It's a beautiful day at the South Brunswick Island beaches in Brunswick County, North Carolina. We are at the Shallotte Brunswick Islands KOA with Courtney Gable, owner and manager of Shallotte Brunswick Islands KOA. Welcome to the show, Courtney.
Well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about this KOA.
Well, we have 105 sites. We offer both RV sites, tent sites, cabins, cottages. We also offer storage, boat storage, trailer storage. We think we have a lot to offer to the RV.
How many sites do you have?
105.
105. Mm-hmm. And you take all sizes of RVs?
We do. We have 30 amp, 50 amp, 80 amp, up to 100 amp.
What's the best thing about this park?
Well, it's a destination park, and first off, all of our sites are full hookup sites. We have a fully stocked fishing pond. It's stocked with catfish, bass, and brim. We have a playground, as you can see.
Are they catch and release?
Well, you can catch them, you can release them. If you get a good size, we also have a fish cleaning station.
Oh, awesome. I hate to do fish cleaning, so
you would
do it for me?
If you want to bother with it, you can do it.
Oh, I have to do it myself. Okay. What else is in the area? Someone's coming to the Shallotte Brunswick Islands KOA. What can they do in this area?
There's 35 championship golf courses. We also have the beaches, of course. We're 7 miles from Calabash, which is the seafood capital of the world.
Oh, lightly battered, deep fried, Calabash style seafood.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. We're also not too far from North Myrtle Beach. We're 15 miles from that, 25 miles from South Myrtle Beach, so we're very centrally located.
And, of course, there's the ocean.
That's right. That's right. We're right in between Ocean Isle Beach and Sunset Beach. We're 5 miles both ways.
Boy, that's awesome. This sounds like a great place to come to. What happens if it rains? Is there some place to go if it's raining?
Yeah, we have lots of things to do in the Shallotte area. There's lots of shopping in Calabash. We have lots of nice restaurants, local restaurants. Our campground also is a destination campground, so we try to keep all of our campers here so we can keep them entertained.
So you have activities?
We do. Every Saturday we have activities for the kids, so people who are bringing their children in can drop us off with an hour and they can kind of enjoy themselves.
Courtney, is this campground open year-round?
It is. It is. We have in-season rates and we have off-season rates. Our in-season rates start Easter weekend and they end Labor Day.
Okay, sounds great. If someone wanted to come to the Shallotte Brunswick Islands KOA, how would you tell them to get here?
Well, we're off of Junction 904 East, which is connected to Highway 17. We're right in between Ocean Isle Beach and Sunset Beach. We're 5 miles both ways.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sunset Beach just sounds so lovely. You think of those white sand beaches and the waves crashing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good family place for people to come.
It really is. It really is.
Excellent. What's the phone number here, Courtney?
910-579-7562. You can look us up on the web at www.koa.com. You can also email us at koacampers@atmc.net.
Since we're talking so much about the camping cabins and the lodges, I thought maybe we would change locations mm-hmm. and just enjoy this nice swing on the front porch. This is one of your
cottages.
What's the difference between a cottage and a cabin?
Well, the cottage is like a small efficiency. It's fully equipped with a kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, and living room. Mm-hmm. It's also got cable access. The cabins are mainly just a place to sleep. They don't have your kitchen. They're not going to have your bathroom either.
So you're still going to start your fire outside and cook over the grill or something like that?
Right. We have that option. We also have the camping kitchen, which is like an outdoor kitchen.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. How the heck did you get into owning a campground? This seems like an unusual occupation for someone as young as you are.
Well, I don't really own it. My father owns it. He kind of got me into this business. He stayed at a KOA in Daytona with a good friend of his. We've never RV'd a day in our lives.
Oh, no. So, did you camp?
No.
No camping, no RVing, and here you are.
Yeah. he went and he met an owner of a KOA, and he stayed there, and he had such a good time. He bought the franchise name that night, and he came home and kind of just told all of us about it.
Okay.
It's nothing I pictured I would be doing, but it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of nice people. You get to travel with it, so it's interesting.
Well, how did you learn about managing a KOA?
Well, it was a touch-and-go process. It took us 5 years to finish the completion. KOA, the corporate office, was wonderful. We went to schooling to kind of teach us about how to do the computer system. We went to a lot of the RV shows and
kind of learned what a Class A RV was versus
a C.
Pull behind or Class C, right?
Yeah, when I got into this, I didn't know the difference between a fifth wheel travel trailer, sewer hoses. It was all new things to me. But we learned, like I said, it took 5 years to build this, so we had a lot of time to learn.
Did you have a company come in and do the design work?
No, my father did it himself. He did a fabulous job. He can tell you every wire underneath the ground where it's located. He did really good. He did a great job.
And how about the layout of the sites? It seems like there's a lot of room around each site.
Well, when we were building it, I was younger, actually. I was in high school. And he bought the name, and we would have to go to every KOA and visit them, meet the owners, decide what he wanted his KOA to look like. And one of his main goals was not to have his... He didn't like the sites being side by side where you open your door and you're in your neighbor's yard. So he picked out what was more important to him, and he's got a scrapbook of pictures of KOAs that he went and things that he liked, and that's how he applied it to this campground.
Well, it looks like you did a fabulous job. We've really enjoyed being here today, Courtney.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, you're welcome.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to American RVer, and welcome to our Tech Tips segment. I'm Jim Gritch, and with me is Doug Gunter, and we're at Buddy Greg Motorhome, just outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. And Doug, we're going to talk a little bit about cabinets and how to maintain them, and also Corian. So, what do we do with the cabinets to keep them nice?
Well, the best thing you can do is use what they call a wood conditioner. There are several products available. And the best thing to do is wood needs to maintain a certain level of moisture because if it gets too dry, it starts to crack. So several times a year, two or three times a year, take some wood conditioner and liberally wipe all the wood surfaces.
Now, what kind of conditioner are you talking about?
Well, there are products available. For example, Zep has a product called Wood Doctor, which is an aerosol. Old English has a product called in a little bottle called Red Oil, and it's a wood conditioner. I would avoid waxy substances because they tend to build up on there. But what it does is essentially the wood absorbs, soaks up the conditioner, and keeps it at a moisture level. Now you'll want to go inside of the cabinets.
Oh.
Maybe not as frequently as the outside because they're not as exposed, but inside of the cabinets once or twice a year and keep all the wood in good shape. It'll maintain its integrity and it'll stay beautiful.
Now, what causes the wood to dry out? Just the general air hitting it?
Typically, in the drier climates, the hotter climates out west, the wood will dry out more.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of instances where there's, if you go from different dry climates to wet climates frequently without keeping the wood at a constant level of moisture, there's a lot of shrinkage and expansion occurs. You'll start to see cracks in joints where the construction...
I have seen that.
Yes.
And that's typical.
It is, yes.
It's just from the expansion.
So it's a good idea to keep conditioner on it, keep it moist. Not wet, but you know, it'll absorb the moisture and
Well, different woods...
integrity.
Different woods are maintained differently or basically
across
the board?
Pretty much across the board. You'll have different woods that you know, obviously maple and things like that are real hard woods won't move around as much as softer woods like cherry and walnut.
Okay.
But
and that's what we're looking at today is,
natural
cherry. And so besides the cabinetry, we also want to maintain our tabletops and our countertops. And so this is Corian, correct?
Right.
And what are the advantages of Corian?
This is actually called Solid Surface. Corian is a brand name. This may or may not be that particular brand. But the advantages of Solid Surface is that it's very durable. If you should nick it or scratch it, it is repairable. After it's used for, you know, even years, you can come back and refinish the surface and make it like brand new.
Do you actually sand the surface? Is that what you're doing?
You do. You actually sand. We have a machine that we sand the surface off, and you go through several steps. You start with a pretty coarse grade of sandpaper to get the deepest scratches out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you step up to several different stages of grit with the sandpaper until it's really fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last step is a polish.
Oh.
And you're actually polishing it sort of like an automotive finish.
So you actually almost buff it.
Yes.
At mm-hmm. the end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what about the edges? One of the edges get broken.
Right.
Is that repairable?
It is repairable. If you should ever break a piece off, it's best to save the pieces, chip pieces, because mm-hmm. it makes it easier to repair if you can put those pieces back in. You can fill a void where there's a piece gone if it's not too big. Oftentimes, if somebody gets a damaged area, what will happen is they will cut out what they call a pie shape and then insert a new piece.
Oh, really?
Of material, and then rebuild the edge.
Now, can you fill, like, little nicks as well?
You can.
That's probably tougher, though, right, match it?
It is. They have what they call seam kits available, which are used in the construction of the tops that come in various colors for different colors of material.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that really someone who owns a coach cannot do themselves.
Well, the coach owners, the best maintenance that they can do is to avoid gritty type substances,
right, and sliding them across
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid any abrasive wipes or SOS pads or anything of that nature. Now, typically, the sinks are usually a different color than the surfaces.
Right.
Most of the time, they're white or off-white. They will get a lot more abuse. And they won't show the scratches as well. So sometimes you'll need to get some stains out of the sink. And it's okay to stay in that area with something a little more abrasive.
Uh-huh.
Scotch pad or something like that.
Right.
Because it starts out, it's matte finish when it's manufactured.
As opposed to the shiny finish.
As opposed to the shiny finish, yes.
Right, right.
But the great thing about it is you can bring it back to brand new.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's great to know. And I'm sure a lot of people out there probably do have a lot of these type of surfaces. And, of course, almost everyone has cabinets.
Yes, it's getting very popular, solid surface.
Right. So keep that in mind. Some great tips. And we'll be back right after this.
And welcome back to American RVer. We're here with certified living foods instructor Gina Michael, who also does medical nutritional counseling. And we're going to talk about how we can be more healthy on the road, because heaven knows I've eaten enough canned food to stuff a horse, and you can tell the difference between the two of us. I need something a little more healthy, and maybe you do too. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about growing sprouts and growing some things in the RV that can make you more healthy. Thanks, Gina.
All right, we're going to try something a little bit novel here. Most people want to know, what can I do that's on the road, that's lightweight, that's healthy?
I don't want that flying all over the RV as we're driving down the road.
We don't want it all over the road. So this is kind of an idea that might work in your home, and you can modify what we're showing you here to your particular arrangement. This one is a simple plastic basket that you can get anywhere with an insert.
Let me just dump that out for you, Gina.
This is a needlepoint
plastic canvas
that's cut to fit in here to give a base for the sprouts to grow.
What, the roots need that to grow through?
The roots need something to hold on to, and that'll give you a little area of drainage in the bottom.
Yeah, because obviously no drainage. We don't want this all over our counters.
Yes. So we're using this elastic here just to hold the basket in place, and you can further fix it if you want with the ties that you can tie your basket on.
And it's right by the window, so you leave your shade up a little bit, and it's going to get light while you're driving, which is
plenty
a good
of light.
Thing.
And then you'll have it ready for when you reach your destination.
Okay.
So, now, this one, I think, really lends itself to being on the road, your garden. By using this bag, you
that
can
sprout. That looks like a little laundry bag.
It's like a little laundry bag. That's exactly what it's like. You can put the seeds in, and they're different. You could do peas this way, any of your large seeds in this plate. There are chickpeas. that can be put into this bag. They're after they're soaked overnight, all of these seeds get soaked overnight.
So once you've put your peas into the bag, then what do you do with them?
You hang them in the shower.
Oh, so they're out of the way, and
they're
out of the way. In the shower.
They need no sunlight, and in the meanwhile, they're sprouting.
Good. So you don't have to have a skylight or a moonlight, whatever you want
Not
to call
at all.
It, in your shower in order for these to grow. These
Not
are going to grow
all.
Anyway.
Needs no light at all.
Okay, so that makes it very easy.
So that's what we're doing with the chickpeas.
Okay. Now, on what's this right here?
This is your, actually, this is your first step. You're putting your seeds into this jar.
Okay, and we have sunflower seeds
right.
as well
as sunflower seeds.
And these are not the sunflower seeds that are salted that I'm eating out of the package, are they?
These are the raw ones.
Okay.
These were intended for birds with no additives.
Oh, so I can go to the store. I can just get a bag of bird seed,
right.
And that's going to be our sunflower seed, not bird seed, but just regular sunflower bird seed.
Yeah, you sure can. Just make sure they're not roasted and no salt.
Okay.
This is a simple piece of window screening, but you could also use netting, nylon netting.
Okay.
Put that on your jar, or you can do this with a cup as well. You don't have to use a quart jar.
It doesn't have to be that big.
No, it does not have to be this big. You fill this with water, and you let it sit overnight. The next morning, you drain that out, leave it in your sink to drain, and you continue that draining for a couple of days until, finally, you're going to end up with a seed that has little sprouts coming out of it. Now, this is something, I don't know if you can see that from there, but they all have little
green sprouts.
Little green sprouts on them.
Right.
At this stage is when they go into your basket.
Ah.
So these...
Wait, do I have to put dirt in here?
You do not have to use dirt.
I don't?
You do
Ooh,
not
so
have to use dirt.
So it's even clean. I don't have to worry about cleaning all that up.
If you have soil, if you're inclined to have a little layer of soil, that is one way that you can do it, but that would require that you carry some soil along with you. You get a little more nutrient in if you use a soil base, and you can do that.
Okay.
This little pan right here is showing, this is an herb called fenugreek, which is very pungent. You use it in small quantities.
Yeah, I can smell it.
Yeah. But the sunflower seeds go in here, and then about 6-7 days later, you're going to be able to harvest some of these sprouts that look just like this.
Am I going to just let these sit in here? Or am I going to rinse these every so often?
You're going to rinse them morning and night.
Oh, okay.
Rinse them morning and night. And eventually they will cling on to the bottom there. And they end up with a little top on them. That's that one.
Right.
You can use these on salads. Mm-hmm. And why do we want to use sprouts? Sprouts are much higher in nutrition than most of the greens that you can buy in the market. They are high in enzymes, just crunchy and nice. You can harvest your whole tray or basket at the same time and then put them in a Ziploc bag.
Do I eat the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay.
All the way down.
I figured I better ask just in case.
Pick the seeds off. I'd say they're not so great.
Okay.
So that's with the sunflower seeds.
Right. Well, that seems pretty easy.
It's pretty easy.
Okay.
The other one, this is a... should I take this out?
What do you have there? Those are black beans?
These are black beans. These are black beans that have been sprouted. Now, this can be made into a dish, a wonderful bean dip, by using the sprouted beans.
Okay.
The sprouts in this stage have far higher nutritional content than your dried cooked beans. Cooked foods that have been cooked over 119 degrees, all the enzymes are gone. You have none of them
left. Oh, that's not even boiling temperature.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
So unless you take a lot of enzymes along with your cooked food, you're not getting your full nutrition that your body needs to keep you healthy.
So this is one way to add a little bit of nutrition to your diet.
A lot.
Let's talk a little bit about this basket. We're just about out of time, Gina.
Okay, this is a larger basket, but you could use a small one that fits your area that is in the process of growing wheatgrass. Wheatgrass is another story in itself, but it's very, very high in all sorts of nutrition. This one has been growing in here for about 4 days. It was also sprouted in a jar like this, put into the basket, and the roots will come through the bottom. In this case, you would need to have a plastic bag or something that your basket is sitting in, because the roots are going
to
come out.
Okay.
When it is ready to be harvested, you just cut it off with scissors. And again, you use your...
And I'm adding it to my salad.
On this one, you have to put it into your blender for juicing.
Okay.
This is for juicing.
Well, on another show, we'll talk a little bit more about juicing. Mm-hmm. I think that's about all the time we have for growing herbs in your RV. But you know what? You can be healthy when you ride in your RV. You don't have to go with just prepared foods. And it's easy. 6 days later, you're ready to go with some great sunflower seed sprouts. Thanks for being here, Gina. We'll see you next time.
You're welcome.
We thought we'd meet some neighbors today at the Shallotte Brunswick Islands KOA. Here is John DiMartino.
Yes.
John, welcome.
How you doing?
Are you a big camper?
Yes, we camp all the time. We're full-time campers.
Aha, uh-huh. How long have you been doing that?
We've been doing it about a year and a half.
Yeah? What's the best part?
Best part is the relaxation, being close to the beach, and being the freedom of moving around and doing what you want to do at any given time.
Have you been all around the country, or are you mainly staying on the East Coast or Southeast?
I've been pretty much up and down the East Coast, and I've been some parts out west. I've been, you know, quite a few states. Not so much camping, but just, you know, traveling.
Right. And is that what you intend to do, is do a lot more traveling with your RV?
Possibly up the road, yeah. I plan to do a lot of traveling.
Right.
Yeah.
I see that you're a surfer.
Oh, yeah. Surfing is great. This is a great place, too, Sunset Beach. If you surf, there's a lot of activities. You know, water sports, jet skiing, fishing. We're in really close proximity to the beach. We're probably, as the crow flies, about 4 miles.
Excellent.
So, you know, this is really a great place if you want to come and enjoy the beach, and it's a good quiet beach.
Absolutely. Great. Nice to meet you, John.
Okay.
You're listening to the audio-only version of the show created from the video podcast. If you would like to see the video podcast, go to www.americanrver.com and click on the video podcast button. There is a 10-minute download with a DSL connection. Thank you and enjoy.